I grew up in a house where we went to church, but we did not know God. We were not taught about relationship. And as a very young child, I learned to believe a lot of things that were not true at all. But I believed them. I was told and believed that I was ugly. I was told and believed that I was dirty. I was told and believed that I was nasty. And I was told this by my mother, and pretty much as I grew up, never heard anything other than things of this nature. I was molested, and as I was being molested, I would hear these things. And again, these would be things very much just out of my mother's mouth to me. So there were a lot of things that became very terrifying to me. Simple things like taking a bath. And yet, all this time, even as a little child, although I didn't understand salvation, I didn't know anything really about Jesus, but I knew somehow that God was real, and I would pray simply, help me. Now, I always loved going to church. My mother served in church in a capacity, and I would be in church and I'd be singing, and yet all the time hearing these things dirty and ugly. So the only value, if I had any value at all, it was in singing. And that in itself became quite a challenge for me. Even as I got older, I remember once telling God, I'll never sing for you. I'll never sing for you, because I couldn't understand how God could allow the things that had happened. And I'd be singing in church, and somehow I loved God. I'd be trying to read my Bible as a little girl, but yet still very angry at God, because I could not believe that a loving God, if he loved me, would allow me to go through the things that I was going through. In any event, as I walked through life, the only value that I had was in what I did, in my singing, very performance driven. And by that, I'm not limiting that to singing or music, but just never giving myself a break, always putting myself under great pressure to do well, because I felt that if I did well enough, if I did whatever it was well enough, that doing well enough also associated that with people loving and treating me well. But it became more and more of a conflict, because the only value I ever had was, you sing well. You have such a pretty voice. And yet all I ever thought was, but I'm so ugly. But I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. In any event, the year that my mother, essentially her last year of life, I had no idea how much rage that I really had within me. And to be the very one that had to take care of her, I was so angry about that, yet I knew very much how to meet responsibilities. I knew how to, quote unquote, get it done, no matter how I felt. So the year that she's dying, she was still extremely mean to me then. And see, there's also, I suppose, a dichotomy, because I'm seeing one person inside the house and another person that everyone highly respects outside of the house. And I would have people tell me as a child, you have such a horrible attitude. And I would look at them and say, I couldn't say anything, because even in that, there I was too young to put together, well, yeah, I guess so. Nonetheless, I took care of my mother, helped, did everything that I needed to do and to make sure that she got the best care that she could get during this time. And one night she said something to me and I just completely lost it. And I let her have it both barrels. And by this time I did know the Lord and I was saved, but I let her have it. And just making just words, just anger that came out of me from a place I can't even begin to describe. I drove home that night And I laid on my floor of my apartment, and I mean, I howled and I cried because I was so ashamed. I was so ashamed that here I am, quote unquote, a Christian, and carrying on like this with a woman who had gotten to a point where she couldn't even brush her own teeth. And the thing was that she would always speak those things to me, you know, when I'll bury you, you'll be the one who'll have to get your teeth brushed. I'll have to bring you water. All kinds of things. All these things are spinning through my mind, and she is still talking to me very meanly and humiliating me in front of guests and all kind of things. And anyway, so I went, I cursed her out that night, really cursed her out. And I'm not promoting cursing people out when they're sick or if you're a Christian, but that's just where I was. And I went home, I cried, I laid on the floor, and I asked God, I said, God, when am I going to stop hurting? When is this going to end? And literally, I heard the voice of God say, when did you ever think that you would feel bad about hurting her? I got up. It was 2 o'clock or whatever time it was in the morning. I went back. I apologized to her. And when people are really close to death, even saying a word takes all the strength. So I went over there and I did apologize, and I let her know that I was very sorry that I spoke to her that way. And she said, I had it coming. And I said, well, if you had it coming or not, that did not honor God, and you are my mother, and I apologize. And she accepted my apology. I would lay on the couch because we had to move her down to the dining room and make that more like a sick room. And at night, I would hear her talking in her sleep. And there would be like a side of her that I had never known before, where she'd be talking in her sleep and she'd be talking about these joyous things that would happen, like little barbecues and, you know, in her sleep, asking my father, Albert, do you think we have enough hamburgers and little things and laughing? But then I would hear these other things where she would be completely tormented, and I would hear the pain that she had hidden in her life for years, things that had happened to her when she was 9 and 8 years old, and things about the family, her upbringing, things that I had never known. And it was God's way of allowing me to hear all the pain that she had hidden in her life and had taken out on our entire family. That is what began to break up hardness in my heart. And as much as sometimes it could say, wow, what a wonderful person you were to minister to your mother, no, God knew that that had to happen for me too, because if I had walked around with that heart, if I had walked around with that anger, one, I would have never had the opportunity to lead her to the Lord. And she did. You know, only God could have done it. Only God could have done it. Because it gave me a compassion when I heard the pain that she had hidden all those years in her life that she had never talked about. She just took it out on us. Now, I'm not saying that that makes it right, but it gave me a heart for her that I would have never had. So one night I remember I said, and I knew it was kind of coming to the final maybe moments, and God had kind of made it clear to me, not by any means when exactly she was going to pass, but that she was going to pass. And so I went over there to her bed, and I actually forgot to say that one night when I had gone over there and when she did apologize to me, she said, I'm sorry for all that I had done. Because one of the things I forgot to share is that as I grew older and would try to make peace with her, she would deny that she had ever done anything. So now I would walk through and be tormented. Well, did I make this up? Did these things happen? Not happen? You know. But even as I got older, there would be things that she would continue to do that would let me know that, no, it's not your imagination. These things definitely happened to you. And in order to honor her, I won't share those type of things, but they were things that were very mean-spirited and hurtful. In any event, though, I went to her on this particular night and I said, Ma, I know that you have served a lot and done a lot of good things, et cetera, so on. But I just want to know, do you know that God loves you? I never even straight up asked her, are you saved? I said, do you know that God loves you, that he really loves you? And my mother, believe me, she was not a crier, but she began to, I almost saw with my eyes just how suddenly God was changing her. And I said, he loves you. And he wants you to know that he wants you to be saved. Okay, I know you've been in church and you've done a lot of good things, but he wants you to be saved. So I simply asked her, do you accept? She even asked me a few times, you want to ask me again just to make sure? I said, oh yeah, don't worry, you're in. But I did. I said, now, you know, you did the best you knew how to do. If not about if it was good or not, you just did the best you knew how to do. So now God has forgiven you. I have forgiven you, and I thank you for asking me for forgiveness. But now there's one person that you need to forgive. And she said, who? And I said, that's you. You have to forgive yourself because you did what you knew how to do. And God has forgiven you. And when he sees you, he's not going to ask you about any of that stuff. And she there was a peace over her. And, you know, when people are also really sick, a lot of times just this, the sickness, how it affects them and the look and the what all of it does to them. Because my mom was a very petite person. At her biggest, she was only 125 pounds. The day she passed, she was 71 pounds, very small person. It was absolutely a miracle because when she received Christ and that time where he was really beginning to just minister to her, and I could just tell there was a beauty, suddenly a beauty and a softness and a gentleness that I had never, ever, ever seen on her face. Now, a lot of times also what I've learned is that even in giving the testimony about what she did, how it affected me. Yes, I believed things that were not true, but also the walls that I realized as time went on and as time goes on, that God is tearing down walls, fear of people, fear, anger, and different things that were repressed when I was little, that I didn't know how to express, that God is healing and has healed me from. And still very much in certain processes, I by no means would sit here and say that there are not certain things that I still don't struggle with, even in so far as how I see myself. But I know that only God could have had a plan that would have broken up hardness in my heart that I thought would never, ever, I thought my heart would never change toward my mom. And the beautiful other part of this is that I myself am a mother, and in God's grace, he gave me the ability to know how to raise my daughter and tell her every single day things that I never, ever heard. Now, my mom finally did tell me that she loved me, and I don't mean to discount that, but I am so grateful that it will not take a deathbed for my daughter to have heard that she is loved, that she is beautiful, that she is valued. You know, and I just say there's so many hearts that have been broken and people do the best they can. And sometimes that's not good enough. But with God's help, I don't really believe that there's anything that can't be forgiven. I don't believe there's any heart that can't be touched. I don't believe there's any life that can't be changed, even if it is in the 11th hour. You know, it doesn't matter the mother I didn't have here. I know that when I pass from this life, and I don't understand all of that, but I'm grateful that God allowed me to show his love through me, and that I will see her again when we do, you know, get to heaven, and that we won't have to talk about any of these horrifying things. And I don't mean to make that any light of it. You know, because even in that, I realized, too, that sometimes people, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing to laugh. It's a blessing to have joy. It's a blessing to have a sense of humor. But even that sometimes masks a lot of pain. And that's one of the things, too. A lot of times I'd be like, oh, man, you're so funny. You're life of the party. And it was just, if you want to say, a defense mechanism to keep from crying. You know, I remember I was 13 and I said, point blank, I'm never crying again. And I didn't. I didn't cry for close to 20 years. So now, even when I cry, although sometimes people get upset when they see you cry, but to me it's a blessing because I know for like 20 years I could not or would not cry. So just thank God for his mercy. Also, before I knew the Lord, when I had problems or things, I would take them to drinking and different things like that. As in coming to know the Lord, I think one of the things that has helped me is being real with God. And it's taken a minute to get to the point to know that you can be real with the Lord, to be not wearing that mask and to say to him, and if he puts people who you know are loving and safe that you can share with. But if you don't have those people, you can certainly go to God and say, God, I'm really struggling with being angry. And this was part of it. It was being real with the Lord and asking him. I don't know if constantly is the right word, but I would ask God. I said, God, I don't want to have this kind of heart. I know this is not the heart you want me to have, and I'm having trouble forgiving. And there would be sometimes I hate da 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 da. But I think that in being real with God, because God already knows. He knows our hearts. He knows our hearts. But I think one time the Lord told me it can't be healed if it's not revealed, and revealed even within me, because I didn't even know how angry I was. And not just because of that one incident with my mom, but just as things happen in life. But it still always goes back to something, probably that something that could be deeper seated. So I think that a lot of it is just being honest with God, but also being honest with ourselves about where we are, and knowing that, and I don't mean this from a religious way, but knowing that, like, part of what I've done, it's like I've looked, I'm like, God, what do you say about unforgiveness? You know what? It wasn't 10,000 scriptures. It was the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our debts as we forgive. And that kind of, I was like, well, God, I can't even want to forgive if you don't put that in my heart. So I'm asking him, I'm like, look, when you see things that are not right, literally make me willing to be willing. Because on my own, I'd much rather cross the street or roll my eyes or, you know, and everything. But in the reality of it, I know that that's not what God wants. That's not what God wants. And another thing, too, and I say this especially for anyone who has deep, maybe serious things to forgive. Understand that sometimes there's not going to be reconciliation, but there always must be forgiveness. It really was just the Lord and I, because I remember one time I used to be friends with a guy, and we would have conversations, and 2 years knowing each other, he said, you know, you have never said anything about yourself. And I didn't really say anything then, but I just kind of felt, well, what would I say? You know, because also I used music kind of like as a shield. It was easy to sing in front of 1,000 people, but very rough to sit with 1 or 2. There's that distance, you know. So I really did not have, I mean, I do have a friend or two who, you know, had witnessed, you know, the things that I had experienced. But as I was growing up and once I came to the Lord, I did not really have anybody walking me through this. As a matter of fact, when the year my mom was passing, it was no one but the Lord and I. And that in itself made me angry. But then I realized it almost had to be that way, because for what he needed to do, it was I say this in retrospect, I didn't feel it at that time, but now I kind of think it was almost like it has to be just you and I right now, you know, for what really needs to happen in this, and not just for my mother, you know, of course, her salvation, but also so that I wouldn't walk around and become the very thing that I had hated.